I rise in the morning torn between a desire to save the world and a desire to save the world. This makes it hard, as we heard, to plan the day. Yes, indeed, hard to plan the day, perhaps the week, the month, the year. E.B. White, who was the author of this morning's story, Charlotte's Web, gave us three children's books, though he was better known during his life as a staff writer for The New Yorker. I don't know how many of you may be familiar with his writing. He was quite prolific. I bumped into the quote above about savoring and serving 3 or 4 years ago. It was posted on the bulletin board of a colleague's desk, and it struck me as especially poignant. It is, in some respects, our perennial challenge. Shall I take care of myself today, sit down and savor my world? Or shall I pay some attention to the world around me and try to do my part to improve what I might see as not yet perfect? Shall I be Wilbur in his early years, moving fairly happily from meal to meal? Or will I be Charlotte, seeing a cause and taking it on? I reread this now classic children's book this past summer, inspired by the quote. I wanted to revisit some of White's work. And it impressed me especially because he does not sugarcoat the truth for his young readers. He does not pretend that the world is other than what it is, complicated and challenging and sometimes more brutal than we would like it to be. The first line of Charlotte's Web is, "Where's Papa going with that axe?" Young Fern is asking her mother at the breakfast table. "Out to the hog house," her mother says. "Some pigs were born last night." "I don't see why he needs an axe," continued Fern, who was only 8. "Well," said her mother, "one of the pigs is a runt. It's very small and weak, and it will never amount to anything. So your father has decided to do away with it." "Do away with it?" shrieked Fern. "You mean kill it? Just because it's smaller than the others?" Well, of course, we have been reminded this morning that Fern takes action, leaving the breakfast table and chasing immediately after her father to stop the killing of the wee pig. Martin Luther King reminds us, in the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. To savor or serve, it makes it hard to plan the day. It's perfectly okay to savor, you know. It's important to savor this world, to savor every piece of gift that sets itself in front of us, to notice the moment, to greet our neighbor, to be right here, right now, and be grateful for every piece of it. I'm not sure savor means only appreciating the good. It likely includes noticing the whole of life, though what it doesn't include is doing anything about it. Meister Eckhart, who offered our opening words this morning, also quipped, "If the only prayer you pray is thank you, that would be enough." We don't get to thank you without the savor part, the appreciating of something unhurriedly, the, "Oh, that is amazing" part. We need that time in our lives, that time that says, "Stop the train, I want to get off," and just savor time. This morning is a great example. Our introit this morning reminded us how good it is, how lovely the fellowship of those who meet together. I want to thank Michael for having written that piece that the choir offered us. How good it is. Let's savor this. Still, the psalm itself in its entirety, which is Psalm 133, is a plea for unity, actually. All the psalms are a part of the Hebrew scriptures. And this one in particular expresses a hope that the two kingdoms of Israel that had been separated into the North Kingdom and the South Kingdom, the North with Mount Hermon and the South with Jerusalem, might be reunited. Even the Israelites, who we often think of as an always united front, traveling out of slavery or crossing the desert together, even the Israelites were a divided people for a time. As we are really a divided people. Some of us are people of means, others are not. Some of us have health and well-being, and some of us struggle mightily. This morning's Globe reminds us of the racial divisions of 40 years ago that continue to this day. In the big picture, many things divide us. Having the time and ability to savor may actually be a form of privilege that some have the opportunity to enjoy more than others. Charlotte reminds our Wilbur, for example, that his meals are brought to him in a pail. But nobody feeds Charlotte other than Charlotte. The goose in the story, who we didn't hear from this morning, observes Wilbur learning about what Charlotte has to do to survive, how she traps bugs and sucks the blood out of them. There are lots of things Wilbur doesn't know about life, she says. He's really a very innocent little pig. And sometimes our savoring, our particular abilities to savor, our privilege to savor, can blind us too. It's easy to forget or to allow ourselves to be unaware of our privilege. I was reading the paper the other day with one of my children at the kitchen table, and it was a sadly too frequent and gruesome report about an abuse situation that ended in a death. And my child asked me to stop reading depressing local news about situations we couldn't change anyway. Well, of course, we could stop reading. It didn't happen to us. And isn't there some reality to the fact that every decision we make impacts the world around us, including the decision not to look or not to notice, so that when we turn away or we wait, savor, over serve, we isolate ourselves from each other. Some of us way up north near Mount Hermon, and some of us farther south near Jerusalem, divided by a stretch of land that we choose not to journey through. In the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. But we could choose both, you know. In fact, I believe our task is to choose both and to figure out the day, even if it's difficult. This is our new challenge, Theodore Parker Church. At least one of our new challenges. Figuring out together how much time we will spend on savor and how much time we will spend on serve, for there is no doubt we are here to serve the world even as we take care of ourselves. All things are linked, and our willingness to engage is a function of our values and our caring for this gift of life that we are so blessed with. The world, no matter how near or far, cannot afford for us to play the innocent pig. We must look reality in the face and find our way to build unity within it, at the very least, to do our part. But I suspect this is not news to you. Many of you have been doing this work here together for many years. You have brought yourself as a congregation back to a place of health and possibility. Kudos to all of you for that. Savor it and be proud of it. And if you are new here or relatively new here, you can hardly imagine the work that has been done to keep the dream of this congregation alive. And a new dawn greets us today. A new day with new energies and new possibilities. Okay, so some of the old challenges remain. Where will we put our children, who are our future? How will we create space for them that is safe and bright and inviting? And how will we teach them that while we are creating that space, we must be looking out and reaching out and serving the world? that while we're making plans to make this environment more accessible for all abilities, we will be responding to the invitations of need from those around us. In one of the prayers that Hannah Senish wrote before going to Hungary as a paratrooper with the British Army, she said poignantly, "The voice called, and I went. I went because the voice called." Each of us must determine the calling that brings us to this place and how we will respond. Consider this an invitation to savor and serve together a world that so badly needs to be both appreciated and healed. Perhaps together it will be easier to plan the day. How good it is, how good it is, this fellowship of friends. So may it always be. And amen.